Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Samech Gimal. Today's daf has been sponsored by Mr. Jerry Harari and family in memory of his brother Yosef Ben Simha. Sheneftar b'kitzur yamim v'shanim, ruach Hashem t'nuhenu b'gan ha'eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Hacham Baruch, Rafael ben Miriam, and le'ilu nishmat Avraham ben Esther, ruach Hashem t'nuhenu b'gan ha'eden. Amen. We are starting at the Mishnah on Samech Gimel, and the Mishnah says, lo yitze ha'ish, lo besayif, velo bekeshet, ולא בתריס, ולא בעלב, ולא ברומח. ואם יצא, חייב חטאת. Mishnah tells us over here that on Shabbat, a man cannot go out with a saif. Saif would be a sword. ולא בקשת would be a bow, like from bow and arrow. ולא בתריס, תריס would be a shield. Again, that's another type of armor. ולא בעלה, we'll wait for the Gemara to interpret עלה. ולא ברומח, רומח would be a spear. ואם יצא, חייב חטאת. So Tanakama says that these items over here are considered a burden, and therefore if they would carry these items on Shabbat, they would be hayav. The question is, are you carrying the romach or the spear in your hand? Or we're talking about where you're holding it in the holster, so to speak, or in the holder around the around his waist. There's actually a machloket on that, but le'alacha we hold that even if he carried it, let's say, in his waist, that would be considered carrying. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer comes along and says, Takshitin hen lo. He says, no, these items are considered an adornment for the person. Instead of the takshit, and therefore he's matir, he allows them to carry. Again, the same shito will say that the Bili Aizr even allows you to carry it in your hand. That's the way you wear this takshit. The way you wear a ring is on your finger. The way you wear a sword is holding it in your hand. So some shito will say that Bili Aizr is even that lenient on Shabbat. V'achamim omrim, enan ela lignai. Hachamim say these are no takshit. These are no adornments, these swords and different military things. This is genai. These are negative things. Now the Hakamim will explain their logic. Shene Emar, because we have a pasuk. The pasuk is in Micha. V'chitetu harbotam. So there's going to come a time where the swords of men are going to be crushed. Le'itin, they're going to be crushed to... The plowshares, okay. They're going to change the swords into plowshares. V'hanitotehem, and their spears, lemazmerot. That's pruning shears. V'lo yisagoy el goy herev, and no more are the goyim going to have munitions, herev, swords. V'lo yilmedu od milchama. No, they're going to fight any more wars. So therefore you see it's a negative thing. How can you tell me to be the Ayat it's a takshit, where the Pasuk Lili in Micha says there's going to come a day where there's not going to be any more the weapons like that. And therefore you see what? That obviously it's not a takshit. If it was something of an adornment, why is going to come a day where you're going to destroy these things? And it must be these weapons are considered a genai. Now the Mefarshim explain, we don't have three shitot in the Mishnah. It's only two shitot. Hachamim say it's a burden. Rabbi Eliezer says it's a takshit. The rabbis here are explaining Tanakama's opinion. Tanakama that said, Hayav Hatat, what's their logic? Hakamim are explaining Tanakama because it's genai. Since they're not a takshid, therefore it's considered a burden. So by the bottom line, we have a machloket over here between Tanakama and the Bili Aizel. Hakamim, Tanakama holds what? That these items are Hayav Hatat because it's genai. It's not considered a takshid. And how do you know it's a gnai? Because he quotes a pasuk from Micha that they're going to destroy all these weapons. But Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it is a takshid. The Gemara will explain how Rabbi Eliezer learns this pasuk. Comes the Gemara, Mishnah continues, Birit Tehora. The Birit, regarding the laws of Tum'ah v'Tahara, is Tehora. It does not susceptible to Tum'ah. What is a Birit? We will wait for the Gemara to explain that. V'yotzin ba b'shabbat. And regarding going out with the birit, it is permissible to go out with the birit on Shabbat. Kevalim, the Gemara will explain to us as well. Temeim, the laws of Tumah, they are susceptible to Tumah. They en yotzim behem b'shabbat. You cannot go out with them on Shabbat. So there's a difference between birit and kevalim. Birit would be permissible to go out on Shabbat with them, and kevalim, no. Comes the Gemara and says, my be'ala. One of the things we said that a man cannot go out with it on Shabbat according to Tanna Kama was an ala. So the Gemara says, what is that? Gemara says, kulfa. Kulfa would be interpreted as a club. Therefore, that was also a type of weapon. According to Hakamim, that would be asur. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Tekshitin, no. Rabbi Eliezer said what? That these items are considered an adornment. Tanya, we have a braita. Amru lo le Rabbi Eliezer. So they told Rabbi Eliezer, v'chi me'achad et tekshitin en lo. Once you tell him you're ready, these weapons are considered an adornment. Mepenema en betilin limot haMashiach. So then why, when Mashiach comes, these weapons are going to be destroyed? Because that pasuk that we learned in Micha, that said that they're going to crush up all the weapons and turn them into plowshares and pruning shares, that was referring to the times of the Mashiach. If it's indeed an adornment, if it's really considered something that is positive, so therefore, why then when Mashiach comes are they going to destroy them? That's the question they asked on Rabbi Eliezer. Amar lahen, lefi she'en ansirichin. Because when Mashiach comes, you're not going to need them anymore. They're not going to be useful. Shne'emar, lo yisa goy el goy erev. Which means, as the pasuk clearly writes, that the nations of the world are not going to carry weapons anymore. So therefore, they're not going to be necessary. So comes the Gemara and says, v'teheve lenoy be'alma. Fine, even though they're not going to be functional in use, but let them at least be considered lenoy, decorative, which means let them have a purpose as if they're still decorative. Why destroy them totally? Amar Abaye. So Abaye comes along and says, midi dehava ashadga betihara. You know, that would be analogous to a shadga, which is a candle, betihara, in daylight. Which means, even though a candle has a nice function, but in the daylight it has no value. So therefore it's like putting on a sunny day, you take a candle out. And therefore the same thing, its noi is what? Its noi is, since it has a function, they use them in war, so therefore it's considered an adornment when a person wears them. However, once already there's going to be no more use for these weapons, so then already it loses the status of a takshit. So therefore, in Olam Hazeh, before Mashiach comes, since there's still wars, and since these items have a purpose, so therefore they become a takshit according to Rabbi Eliezer. La'atid avo, Mashiach comes, where it says, lo yisa goy el goy harev, so then already they're not functional anymore, so it becomes like a candle in the daylight. Comes the Gemara and says, Ufliga de Shmuel. This braita that we just quoted is actually arguing on Shmuel. It's more like Shmuel is arguing on the braita. De Amar Shmuel, because we have a statement from the Amora Shmuel, En ben ha'olam hazeh limot ha'mashiach, ela shi'bud galuyot bilvad. There really is not going to be any difference between this world that we're living in now and the messianic world, the world of Mashiach, except Sha'bud Galuyot Bilvad. Which means the only difference is going to be that Am Yisrael is going to be in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to have their own dominion, and they're not going to be subjugated to the nations of the world. Which means the exiles are all going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews are not going to be under any other foreign government. But besides that, like the Hakamim say, Olam Kimin Hagolech, the world is still going to maintain the natural order of things. Now, of course, this is not the only difference that's going to be. Tosfot points out, and the only Tosfot on the Daf, Afal Gav De'ashta En Yerushalayim Ve'en Bet HaMikdash V'ilu Limot HaMashiach Ye'akol Banui Tzarich Lomar De'ai En Ben Lav Davka. Which means, of course, there are other things that are going to take place in Mashiach's times that are not happening now. Jerusalem will be rebuilt, the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So then when the Gemara says there, and Ben, there's only one difference, it's Lav Davka. There's more than one difference. But according to Shmuel, you see what? That really it seems that the world is going to be the same, implying that there's also going to be a need for weapons, because there's also going to be wars that are going to be fought. Now the Mefarshim explain, well, we're not going to be fighting the wars because there's no need for us to fight the wars because we're going to be in Eretz Israel and we're going to be protected and the Goyim are not going to start up against us. Yeah, but that's like about us. But the rest of the world are still going to be battling with each other outside of Eretz Israel. And therefore, they're going to have a need for weapons. So therefore, this Braita that says, when Mashiach comes, they're gonna break all the weapons and there's no need for them, that is in contradiction to Shmuel that says, no, even the Mota Mashiach, there is still going to be an inyan of war. The Gemara says, Shne'emar, ki lo yehdal evyon mikerev ha'aretz. Pasuk says that there will always be poor people in the land. What does it mean, there'll always be? So the Rashi brings down. Let's look at Rashi. Lo yihdal. Mashma le'olam. When the Pasuk says there'll always be poverty in the world, ki lo yihdal evyon mekervaz. There will never cease to be poor people in the world, sounds like forever. Alma, yesh aniyut v'ashirut. It's mashma, even when Mashiach comes, there's going to be poor people and rich people. Shma mina, we must deduce from there and learn. Nehamot shenitnabewa nebi'im v'lo yeh kena aniyod, which is referring to there will not be any more aniyim. There's a consolation that the prophets tell us, that there will not be any more poverty. That must be not referring to the times of Mashiach. Lo dimot Mashiach nitnabeu. She'en min ha'olam hazeh. Timken hadeh lechayim yon. That must be referring to another phase that's called Olam Haba. Which means it seems there's different phases in the process. Yav limot Mashiach. That is the regular world order that we're living in today. There'll be poor people, and the pasuk that says Kilo yahdal evyon mekerev ha'aretz will be referring to that situation, because that's Olam hazeh. But then another program will begin called Olam Abba, which is before the world of souls. We'll be in Olam Abba in this world, so to speak. And then already, all those berachot that were written, that there will be no more need for weapons, and they'll take their plow, their swords and break them into plowshares, etc. That's referring to Shmuel in Olam Abba. But when Mashiach comes, that is not going to happen. Actually, Harambam, in his halakha, is posek like Shmuel. That what? There is no difference between Olam Hazeh and Limot HaMashiach, except Shebud Galuyot. The Braita that said that the prophecies that were written in the Nevi'im, that talk about all the consolation and the good things are going to happen, that means that's referring to Mashiach time, which is not like Shmuel. The Braita that argued on Shmuel, that's also going like the opinion of Rav Chaya bar Abba. The Amar Rav Chaya bar Abba, Kol ha-Nebi'im lo nitnabi'u el ha-Limot ha-Mashiach. All the prophets and all the good things and the consolation and the berachot and the positive things that we read about in the prophets, they were all referring to what? The events that are going to take place in the Messianic period, they want the Mashiach. But regarding the next phase, which is the next world, nobody has any idea, nobody has any vision of what that world is going to look like. Even the prophets were blindsided when it came to that. Only God knows what Olam Abba is going to look like. That's according to Rav Chaya bar Abba, that's according to the Braita. As opposed to Shmuel, Shmuel says no. He says all those prophecies that were written in the Nevi'im, the good things, that's actually talking about the things that are going to happen in Olam Haba. And the times of Mashiach are really going to be basically the same. I mean, there's going to be poor people, there's going to be rich people, there's going to be wars, but outside of Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ika de'amren, we have a different version. Amru lo l'Rabbi Eliezer. They told Rabbi Eliezer. Again, Rabbi Eliezer is the one that said what? That these weapons are considered a takshit. And therefore a man can go out with them on Shabbat. So they said, Dechi ma'ad takshitin en lo. Once you tell me these weapons are considered an adornment, b'pnei ma'in b'tilim nemot ha-Mashiach. So then, Rabbi, why then when Mashiach comes? Same question. Why are they going to be destroyed? Amar lahem af nemot ha-Mashiach enam b'tilim. So he answered them, according to his version, differently. He said, you're right. Even in the times of Mashiach, they're not going to be destroyed. Hainu, the Shmuel. And according to this version, Rabbi Eliezer is siding with Shmuel that what? That there's no difference between Olam Hazeh and Imot HaMashiach. And it comes out that both Rabbi Eliezer and Shmuel are on one side against the Chayabar Abba that says that no, that in the Mashiach time, all those prophecies that were prophesied are going to take place then. Amar Abaye Ravdimi. Abaye told Ravdimi. Ve'amrila le'rav Avya. And some say to Rav Avya, Ve'amrila Rav Yosef l'Ravdimi. And some say, no, it was Rav Yosef that told Ravdimi. Ve'amrila, and some say, Rav Avya, Ve'amrila Abaye Rav Yosef. And some say it was Abaye that told Rav Yosef. You see the accuracy over here of the Gemara, wants to get the names right. My Talmud Rabbi Eliezer, Ve'amar Tachshitin en lo. What's the rationale of Rabbi Eliezer? That says what? That these weapons are considered a takshit. What's the rationale? Which means, I understand a ring. I understand a necklace or a bangle. But these over here are weapons. Where do you see in Tanakh that weapons have a status of takshitim? So he says, he has a pasuk in Tehillim, Dichtiv, Hagor Harbecha Al Yarech. Gird your sword, your cherev Al Yarech, by your loins. Gibor, person strong, Hodecha v'hadarecha. That is your splendor and that is your glory. So you see what? You see that David HaMelech is calling the soldiers' weapons his splendor and his glory. That means what? It's his takshit. So we have a pasuk. Amale Rav Kahana lemor bered de Rav Huna. He said, that's the pasuk you quote. Hai bedevre Torah ketiv. He said, that pasuk is not referring to physical weapons. That pasuk is referring to Devre Torah, and what is it saying? It's a very important Rashi here. Let's read that Rashi together with Devre Torah Ketiv. The pasuk is saying like this, Heve Zahir Lachzor Al Mishnatecha. Be very careful to review your learning. Shetehe Mizumenet Lecha. So you'll have it ready. Bishat Adin. When somebody comes and asks the question, Lehavira Ayah, you'll be able to bring a proof immediately. Keherev Al Yerech Gibor, like the sword that's, you know, by the loins of the Gibor, Lenatseyah Bimilchama, which means just like the soldiers ready for an attack, so he has his weapons ready by him, that if something happens, you can pull them out. So the Gemara is telling you, you know what the splendor and the glory of a Jew is? That his weapons are close to him. What's his weapons? The Devre Torah. How does he keep them close to him? He constantly reviews and reviews and reviews, and therefore, so the Gemara says, what are you talking about weapons? This person was talking about physical weapons. This person was talking about the Devre Torah. Amar le, so he answered back to him, En mekra yotze mide peshuto. So we have a rule that, of course, that's a nice didrasha that it's talking about the Devre Torah. But bottom line, the words literally mean weapons. The pasuk says, "Hagor harbecha, take your cherev," and therefore you want to make a nice didrasha that it's talking about the Devre Torah. But the pshat of the pasuk, it says what it says, and we have a klal in mikra yotze mide peshuto that besides the drash of the pasuk. But you also are able to learn the pesukim in the literal sense. You got to go with the pshat, and the pshat is a weapon. So Amar Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says over here, Hiddush. Kadhavina bar tamnesa reshenim. He says, when I was 18 years old, hava gamir na lechud hashas. I finished the entire shas. I finished the shisas that I'm at 18. Velo avaya da'ana. But I didn't know the en mikra yotze mide peshuto ad hashta. Just I didn't know this klal. I didn't know this rule of en mikra yotze mide peshuto, which means until that point, he says, I went through the entire shas and I thought once you give a derasha on the pasuk, that becomes that's the pasuk, that's the interpretation of the pasuk. I didn't understand that besides the derasha of the pasuk, but you could also doresh it according to its pshat, which is both simultaneously concur. He says, I learned that chidush much later on. Now the Mefashim point out that. What does it mean he didn't know this this klal? So, first of all, the way they explain it over here, the Maritz Chayut, the Ben Yoyada, he says, "En hakavana kan mikraot ha'oskot b'halachot," which means obviously many pesukim where we make derashot, they also teach us some of the basic tariyag mitzvot. So of course the rabbi wasn't saying that, you know, he didn't keep the mitzvot that were written explicitly because he took the derasha and he didn't pay attention to the pshat. On those pesukim, for sure he understood that the pshat is the pshat. You got to put on tefillin, even though they made a derasha maybe on the pesuk. You got to shake a lulav on sukkot, even though they might have made a derasha. So he says this was referring to on, let's say, the songs of the Torah. For example, the Parashat Azinu, it's all the Shira. In the poems of the Torah, you have the Shir of Miriam, you have Az Yashir Moshe. So in those Pesukim, they really, a lot of them are allegorical to an extent that they're coming to give a Mashal to something. So he said that even on those, there is a Pshat to them, and the Pshat also has to be interpreted. So he says, he learned that Klal later on in life. Now, the Maharal brings down that you have to say that the Torah can be learned on the Pshat level, because not every Jew has the ability to make Dirashot. And the Torah was given to every single Jew, and therefore must be given on every level, and therefore the Pshat level as well. So the Gemara comes along and says, Maika Mashmahlan, what's the Chiddush that he's telling us? That, you know, I learned the entire Shas until I found out about this Klal. So it says, the Ligmar Inish V'adal Lisbar. The Chiddush he's telling us is, first you have to learn, and then a person should follow the logic and go into the Sivara. Which means, even though you don't understand something fully, just learn, learn up, learn a lot, and then things will start to become clear to you. Then things will be understood to you. Because why? Obviously he learned the entire Shas. And his rabbi that taught him Shas was saying different derashot, and they were saying different halachot, and he didn't know the rule of en mikra yotze mide pishuto. So a lot of times he did not know exactly the source to where his rabbis were saying the halakha, because a lot of times, let's say, they were saying it from the pasuk. But he didn't understand it and go with the pshat. He thought that it's only the derash. So a lot of things that he heard, he really did not have a source until he learned en mikra yotze mide pishuto. He said, ah, that's where my rabbi got this chiddush from. He was basing it on the pshat of this pasuk, and I didn't know that you can go with the pshat when there's a derash. So what is the Gemara teaching you? That even if you don't have all the reasons, you gotta learn. Learn, and then already, once you fill yourself up with Shas, then already, later on, you'll get the answer to a lot of your questions. Now, from this Gemara, is a very important education lesson on how you're really supposed to set up your learning. All the Gedolim, from the Maharal to the Hazon Ish, all said that one should make in his learning where he learns a lot, Nigmar Inash. A person must learn up in order to expand his knowledge of Shas, and not to limit himself by learning one or two lines a day, or, you know, a few pages in a semester, because that will only breed, as the Gedolim said, Amaratzut. Jesus, there's not going to be a vast understanding of Shas. It is said from the Hazon Ish that he said, a Tamir Hakam has to be able to learn one page in 40 days and 40 pages in one day. Which means you have to have the ability to do both. You have to have the ability to be Ma'ayin, to go deep, but at the same time you also have to have the ability to learn up. You also have to have the Chokhmah. If you look at all the stories about the Gidolim of our generation, of yesteryear, when they were in the yeshiva, they always sought to it to finish the masechta that they were learning. Not to learn five or six pages of each masechet, like Rishon Tel Sheni of every parasha, and then it's in the rest of the parasha, or the rest of the masechet is left untouched. On the contrary, the Gemara is saying, to be truly successful in learning, Ligmar Inash. Aye, but you're not going to go deep. So going deep is lebatal lismar. After you have all the wisdom, now already you're able to go to the next level. I have in front of me, which is hard to believe it. I didn't believe it myself, but I'm reading over here from... It says it is from the Maharal in the Tivot Olam. So he says over here, he writes over here how the young guys were studying in the yeshiva, and what were they involved in? They were learning the Gemariot, and they were buying themselves down in learning the Tosafot. He says, and why would they bog themselves down with doing the Tosafot? He says, because the publisher happened to put Tosafot on the page. He said, if the publisher would have put another Pirush on the page, so they would have spent their time learning that. And instead, they're involved in Pilpulim and trying to reconcile opinions, and that's bogging them down from the actual Limud itself. I'll read that inside. It says, Ve'im omrim navi anar. If you tell the child or the father of the children that are learning, instead of studying pinpool and just trying to answer questions, the Maharal would say you have to learn halakha, you have to learn it in its bottom line. Go tell a parent, he said in his time, don't teach your children, don't mix them up with the Tosfotim. Says, that's as if you're telling the father, well, you don't want my kid to study at all? Ki ena ab hafetz rak b'shem. So unfortunately, the parents of this generation, all they were interested is in the status. My son learns Tosafot. But meanwhile, the children were not learning, bottom line, they were not learning halakha. He says, ki de godel atakala v'mekshol hazeh asher itachat yadenu lo yaspik davar zeh. And therefore he says, lachen, לומדי תורה המרבים בישיבה חזקו ונתחזקה בעד תורת אלוהינו. He goes, yeah, we have to strengthen ourselves, and we have to learn with, of course, shekeda, we have to learn with diligence, and there's that the shame, he says, we have to study and study one masechet after another, and then the ayun comes. That's a very, very encouraging gemara to give us encouragement that we really have to learn. But we also learn from this gemara as well, that we must make hazara in the learning. Like the Pasuk said, Hagor Harbecha Al Yerech. We have to, whatever we learn is a responsibility to review it. Comes again on further and says, Amar of Yirmiyah, Amar of Bilazar, Shne Tamidei HaChamim, Mehadidin Zeh Lazeh B'Halakha. If there's two Tamidei HaChamim that are sharpening themselves in the Halakha, which means they're asking each other questions back and forth in the halakha, not to needle each other, but to actually sharpen each other to get the halakha clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lahim. God brings those Talmidei Chachamim success. Shene'emar V'Hadarecha Tzelach. Al Tekre V'Hadarecha. Don't read it Hadarecha. Ela V'Hadadecha. Meaning the sharpness. Selah, those that are sharpening each other, Hidud, those that are sharpening each other in Halakha, what does the Pasuk say? Selah, they're going to be successful. Velo'o de'ela, she'olim negdula, that they're going to rise to greatness in Torah. Shne'emar, Selah rechav, which means, rechav literally means they're going to ride, like ride a horse. Selah rechav, they're going to ride, meaning they're going to ride high. They're going to be successful. Ya'achol afilu shelo lishma'ah. Even if they're not lishma, even if they're not studying for the right reasons, even if they're not lishem shamayim, so the Gemara says, no, tamud lomar al devar emet. No, their intention has to be emet, meaning lishem shamayim. Yachol imigis tahto. But even if they, let's say, they have arrogance in their learning, tamud lomar ve'anva sedek. No, it only works if they have true humility. Bimosim ken, and if they do this, zochin l'torah. They will merit to be scholars, not only scholars, but dayanim. They'll be zocher to have such clarity in Torah, where they will be the judges and the poskim of the generation. And shenitna biyamin, the Torah was given, so to speak, in the right of God. Shne'emar, and the pasuk ends in Tehilim, v'torcha noraot imineicha, which means the Torah they will benefit, they will enjoy it, that was given in the right of God. So bottom line, the Gemara is being Doresh, all these Pesukim. These Pesukim, incidentally, are the beginning of the Pesuk that we started to be Doresh. Hagor, Harbecha, Halyere, Chodecha, Vaderecha, Vahadarecha, Selah, etc. So the Pesuk is coming to tell you that those two Tamid HaChamim that are getting along with each other, that are sharpening each other in the Vrei Torah, they will succeed. If they're Lashem Shamayim and they're humble, they will rise to the level to become Dayanim, and they will succeed in the Torah that was given in the right hand, so to speak, of God. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar zochin ledvarim shene'emru bimina shel Torah. These Talmidei Chachamim will be zocher to the things that were said regarding the right of Torah. What was said regarding the right of Torah? The amar Rabba barav shila v'amri la amar of Yosef bar Hama amar of Sheshat. My dichtiv. What does it mean when the pasuk says orech yamin bimina? There is long life in the right, bismola, osher v'chavod. And on the left, there's wealth and honor. So the Gemara says, Ela bimina, orech yamin ika, osher v'chavod leka. What does it mean? That those, let's say, on the right, they only get orech yamin, but they don't get osher v'chavod? So what does this mean over here? So comes the Gemara and says, Ela lemaiminim ba, to those that are considered maiminim, that are going to the right, orech yamim ika v'kol sheken osher v'chavod. What does maiminim mean? So that she says, shemefashpeshin ta'amehem bedikduk uboreran, ki yamin hamiyumenet lemelacha. Those that study Torah like their right hand. The right hand is usually the primary hand that does work. And therefore, it's the stronger hand usually. Those people that study Torah, meaning they apply themselves. And they study Torah bi'ayun in order to understand every facet. Just like the right hand is used to create and build and do. And that's the more expert hand. So the Gemara is saying, lemaiminim ba. To those that study Torah in depth, for them is waiting for them. Orech yamin bimina v'chol shechen osher v'chavod. Everything is destined to those people. Lemasmilim ba, but to those that are on the left. So what does the left mean? So that she says she'en yigi'im ba kol surkan. And they're not really applying themselves fully. She means that Torah is like a hobby. She says they really don't give it their full concentration and their effort. So, osher v'chavod ika. Yes, osher v'chavod, they'll find riches. However, orech yamin, leka, longevity. No, so you see the world, the difference between two people that are learning. Both are attending the shiur. Both are studying. However, there's the baiminim and there's the masmilim. The guys on the right, they're taking it a level more seriously. Which means they're going to try to understand every facet and clarify it. Now she gives another interpretation that baiminim are those that study Torah lishma. That those that come to the shi'ur, that their sole intention is, because they want to learn the Torah of Hashem. They don't have any agenda, they don't have any motives, they're not doing it for kavod, they're not doing it even for the reward, etc. They're just doing it because it's a mitzvah. Those are the maiminim. They're destined to osher, kavod, and orech yamim. The masmilim, they're also coming to study, but they're not lishma. They're doing it for ulterior motives. Pasuk says they also have beracha, osher v'chavod, but not orech yamim. Amar Yirmiyah, Amar Rabbi Shlomo Lakish, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim, Hanochim ze laze b'halakha. Two Talmidei Chachamim that are discussing halachic matters with each other, but they're nochim, they're pleasant with each other. Which means they're getting along with each other, which means, and they're learning from each other, as she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makshiv Lahim. Borei Olam comes down and he listens to those conversations. Those conversations when the Talmidei Chachamim are getting along in Halakha, those are very pleasurable conversations to God. Shneemar, Az Nidberu Yireh Hashem. It says when the God-fearing people speak to each other, the end of the pasuk says, Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma. God comes down and listens. So the Gemara says, En Dibur Ela Nahat. The word Dibur over here is a language that's used as pleasant, to do things in a mild manner. Shene emar yedber amim tahtenu. Now this pasuk means that God is going to subjugate nations under us. When somebody is subjugated, he's humbled. He's pleasant because he's subjugated. So therefore, the word over here, as nidberu, doesn't mean that they were necessarily talking to each other, tamidei hachamim. As nidberu, meaning they were humbling themselves to one another, which means they're pleasant with each other. Then it says God will come down and listen to those conversations. The end of the pasuk says, since we started that pasuk, the Gemara is going to give a derasha at the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk says, the pasuk gives us a terminology that the Gemara wants to understand. Those that think about God. So the Gemara says, who are these people that think about God that are going to get reward? So it says, who are these choshevei shemo? Amar Rav Ameh, afilu hishev la'asot mitzvah v'ne'enaz ve'lo asa'a. Which means if a person had intentions to go do a mitzvah and something happened beyond his control and he wasn't able to do the mitzvah, God rewards him for his good intentions as if he did it. Even for the machshava that he has, he gets credit. From here you see a very important lesson regarding free will. When we talk about free will of a human being, free will is that you have the ability to decide whether you want to do the mitzvah or not. That is your decision. God does not take away that decision nor influence that decision. That is man's God-given right called Bechira Chofshit. However, we see over here that just because a person decides to do a mitzvah, and he has his intentions that he wants to, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to have the zechut to execute. Which means the execution of the mitzvah is already in God's domain. That's already not, that's only in free will. The free will is limited to the decision to do it. And of course make the effort to try to accomplish it. But whether you're going to be successful at the mitzvah, that's already God's chashbon. But even if you're not successful at the execution, pasuk says if you made your effort and you were anus, you do get credit as if you did it. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Amen. I'm sorry, Amar Rav Hinena Bar Idi. Kol ha'oseh mitzvah kema'amara. Anybody that does a mitzvah kema'amara, like it was given over, which means he does it in a meticulous way, he does the mitzvah the way it was supposed to be done, or some explain it kema amara, meaning l'shem shamayim, they're doing the mitzvah without any ulterior motives, en basirin oto besorot ra'ot. They will not give him bad news, which means he will not hear bad news. Shne'emar, shomer mitzvah, lo yeda davar ra. A person that's shomer the mitzvah, which means he protects the mitzvah, which means he values the mitzvah and does it in the right way. Lo yeda davar ra, huh? Well, even one mitzvah. The guy does a mitzvah with the proper kabbana, the shem shamayim, meticulously. What else will save him from bad news? Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Aseh v'etim Rav Hanina afilu hakadosh baruch hu gozer gezera. Even if Borei Olam Chas v'shalom will decree a bad decree against him or against the people, who mebatela, the person that does a mitzvah the right way, the mitzvah is very powerful. We're not even talking about a great tzaddik or a mikubal. Any human being that has a mitzvah that's done kema amarai has the ability to break gezerot ra'ot. Shnei emar, because the pesukim say like this. These pesukim are in Kohelet. Pasuk says, Ba'asher devar melech shilton. God is word, he's the shilton, he's the supreme ruler. Umi yomar lo matase. Who can tell God what to do? And what's the next pasuk? Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davar ra. As if the pasuk is saying, Umi yomar lo matase. Who can tell God what to do? Shomer mitzvah. The one that's shomer mitzvah, he does the mitzvah the proper way, he can, so to speak, tell God
what to do. Jesus, if God makes a gezerah, he has the ability to nullify it. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Shnei Talmidei Hakamim makshivim ze laze bahalaka. Two Talmidei Hakamim that are makshiv. Rashi says, what is makshiv? He literally means they listen to each other. But as she explains it, melamedim ze et ze umevinim ze mize, which means they communicate with each other and they explain for one another and teach each other, which is as they're learning the halakha, both Hakim are trying to explain it and interpret and guide and lead their colleague. She's again, there's a certain amount of camaraderie amongst the Tamid HaKamim where they're teaching each other in order that the other should understand the halakha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomea LeKolan. But the Olam comes down and again listens to their words, their voices. Shnei Amar, Yoshevet Baganim. Who are those people that are sitting in the garden? Those are the Hakamim. The garden is referring to the Beit Midrash. Chavirim Makshivim Nekolech, which is Chavirim, the Tamid HaKamim, the Makshivim, that are listening to each other and teaching each other. What does Borei Olam say? Hashmi'ini. Borei Olam says, let me hear your voice in order that I can answer you. Which means Borei Olam will answer these people. Borei Olam, Hashmi'ini, talk to me. In order that what? I can hear your voice in order that I'll be able to respond. Pimein or simken. However, if they don't get along together, gormin the Shekhinah shemistaleket miYisrael. Chas v'shalom, they cause the Shekhinah to leave Israel. Shnei Emad, the next pasuk, berach dodi. Which means if they don't get along, berach dodi. God is chased out. Amar bi Abba Mar Bishma Nakish. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Hamadgilim ze laze bahalakha. Two Talmidei Chachamim that are madgil. What is madgil? That she says me'asefim ze et ze. They gather, they collect themselves. Ve'omrim bo v'nilbot v'navin ben shnenu. Which means the Chachamim come, the two students, let's say, come along and say, you know what? Let's study b'chavruta already. Why? That she says because the rabbi is not around. We don't have the rabbi to teach us, so when the students come along and they say, you know what, let's try to figure it out ourselves. And therefore they're madgil, meaning they collect themselves and gather themselves to come and study on their own. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavan. God loves these people. These people are endeared by God. Those people that not only study when the rabbi is there to teach them, but they go and they try to figure it out. When the rabbi is not there, they try to understand it. Shnei Amar, v'diglo alai ahava. Which means the pasuk is saying, v'diglo, when they gather, the degil is to gather. Degil literally means a flag. What is the purpose of a flag? The person has a flag that collects all the people together, so to speak, under one banner. So therefore it's saying, v'diglo, which is when the people gather together, alai, for my purposes, meaning to study Torah, Ahava. God says, I love them. Amar Abba, but Abba says, Behui the Yadreet Surata Deshmarta. Which means, so long as they know the basic premises of what they're learning. Which means, they studied already with their rabbi the basic concepts. So they have already a basic understanding. Now they're going to go and try to work it out. However, if they don't even have the basic understandings, then it's dangerous for them to study without their rabbi. And the Gemara says, "Vehu delet l'rabba b'matan le'gvar mineh." And it's only talking about when they don't have a rabbi in the town to go teach them. But if they have a rabbi in the town to go study with them, of course they should go to the shiur where the rabbi is. But the Hiddush is, even if the rabbi, let's say, put them on the road and gave them the basic premises, then already they should go on their own, even if the rabbi is not there and study. Ve'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Lakish. Gemara says, Gadol ha-melaveh yoter min ha-oseh tzedakah. Greater is the man. Now we're just quoting statements of Rish Lakish now. Greater is the man that lends somebody money than the one that gives him charity. Why? Because when a person receives charity, he's embarrassed. Nobody wants to be a charity case. However, he needs the money. So the fellow comes along and says, I'm not giving you charity, you're going to pay me back. I'm giving you a loan. Well, so now already he feels dignified. No, he's going to pay it back. So therefore, the Gemara says, greater is a man that gives loans than he gives charity, because he maintains the dignity of the ani. Umatil bekis yote mechudan. But somebody that goes and invests capital
with somebody and puts him in business and so to speak goes partners with him, that's even better. Because why? The guy who's lending the money, so now the guy who's borrowing the money, how much can he borrow? He knows he's going to have to pay it back, so he's also embarrassed to really ask for what he needs. However, if now it's a venture, which means he's going partners, he's giving him capital and business, and now we're going partners, so now he feels already, he's not embarrassed. Now already he has, you know, the losses are the losses to the business, the gains are the gains to both of them. So therefore it's a better level. Tzedakah, then you have loaning, and then you have actually giving a business business capital. As he says, umatil lakis ma'ot, umilay listaken, you give merchandise in order for him to make business. Lemahasit sachar, in order to split the profits. Kanzi Gemara continues, Amar Abi Abba, Amar Abi Shlomo Lakish, im talmid hakam, if a talmid hakam, a young scholar, nokem v'noter kanahashu, if he's vengeful, nokem, he has a vengeance, v'noter kanahash, and he fights like a snake, hagreu al motnecha, then already attach him to your loins, which means that's a good Tamid Hakam. See, Tamid Hakam has to sometimes has to fight, he has to make a stand. But I heard an explanation from Shimon Schwab on this Gemara. Because why does it say that the Tamid Hakam sometimes has to be vengeful, obviously against the Rishaim, against the travesties, against the problems? Why like a snake? Why not like a lion? Why not like any other predatory animal? So the explanation is like this. All animals, when they attack, they have pleasure. However, the snake does not have pleasure in its victim. All the snake does is it puts its venom in the victim and doesn't eat its victim. It just kills the victim, but it doesn't have pleasure. Whereas a lion, it pounces on its victim and tears it apart. It has pleasure. They're saying, Tamid Hakam, if he wants to make a stand and if he wants to fight, it has to be like a snake. Meaning, he does not derive any personal pleasure from it. Which means it's not that he's enjoying it, that I got them, and I ripped them, and I knocked them. No, that's not like a snake. It has to be 100% l'shem shamayim, which is it's not personal. Comes the Gemara and says, Im ama'aresu hasid, but if you meet up with an ama'ares, an ignoramus, that acts like he's a Hasid, that you know, does things of Hasidut, meanwhile he's an Amaris, which means he's involved in things that are, he doesn't know exactly how to perform the mitzvot, but he's acting like a Hasid. The Gemara says, keep away from this guy. Al tadur b'shchunato, do not live in this guy's neighborhood. Why? Because you might pick up from some of his craziness, from some of his chassidu, which is fake, and it might rub off on you. And then we got to keep away from that guy. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Kana, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Amila Amar Rav Aseh, Amar, it's the Samich, Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Amila Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Kol HaMegadel Kelev Ra, Betoch beto, moneya chesed betoch beto. Anybody that has in his house raises a bad dog, so he's refraining chesed in his house. Why? Because if a guy has a dog in his house that either bites or barks, what's going to do? It's going to scare the people away. Therefore, poor guy is going to want to go to the house. I can't go to this guy's house. The dog's going to attack me. And therefore, by having a dog in one's house, he is refraining people from chesed. And the Gemara says, Shene'emar. Because the Pasuk says, Lamas mere'ehu chesed. And the end of that Pasuk says, V'ir'at shada ya'azov. Now the Gemara says, Sheken belashon yivanit, in Greek, the way they refer to a dog is lamas. So they're saying, lamas, a guy has a dog, mire'ehu hased, from your friend, meaning whatever it says from, Rashi says like you're taking something from your friend. What are you taking from your friend? You're taking from your friend the ability to do chesed to him. Why? Because he's going to be scared to go into the house. So therefore the Gemara is suggesting not to have a dog in the house that would cause, let's say, people to be less hospitable or people to be scared to enter to enjoy the hospitality. Comes to give us even further. Person has a dog in his house like that, he is throwing off of him fear of God. Which means it already shows that he's not fearful of God. He leaves the fear of Shaddai. So I heard a beautiful explanation over here. What does it mean? Why does the Pasuk over here use the name of God, Shin Dalet Yud? God has many names. It should say, Yirat Hashem Ya'azov. A person has a dog, and what is it? So he leaves the fear of God. And what does having a dog have to do with fear of God? Mm-hmm. So explanation is, why does a person have a dog? Most of the time it's for protection. It's a watchdog. And we have over here in our homes something that protects us. So what is that? The mezuzah. And what name of God is on the mezuzah? Shin Dalet Yud. Shin Dalet Yud Shomer Daltot Yisrael. And therefore, if a guy has a dog in his house, what is that showing you? He doesn't believe in the protection of the mezuzah. So the Pasuk says, V'yirat Shaddai Ya'azov. He abandons the belief in the mezuzah that has that name of God on it, and therefore, obviously, does not have fear of God. He itteta. There was a lady. De'aila lahu beta. She went into a certain house, lemefa, to bake. It seems in the olden days, not everybody had an oven. So they used to rent out ovens to people that didn't have it. So this guy rented out an oven to the lady to bake. Nabah ba kalba. When she came in, the guy's dog barked at her. Itakar valda. And she was pregnant, and she had a miscarriage. Says the baby moved, so to speak. Died. Amar la more de beta. So, you know, a common story. The owner of the house, the owner of the dog, tells her, Lo tidchali, don't be scared. Deshekile nive. I took out his teeth. Now she says the dogs have four teeth that are very, very dangerous. Don't worry about it. I took out its teeth. Veshekilin tufre. And I also took off its sharp nails, its claws. Which means as if he's saying, don't worry, my dog doesn't bite. You know, you have nothing to worry about. Amrale. So he says to her, she says to him, Shekula tivutach. Take your good words and take your consolation, v'shadya achizre, and throw it to the thorns. Kevar nad valad. Already the baby moved. Which means it's too late. When you want your nice words, don't worry, don't worry, don't be scared. Take those words, throw them to the thorns. Where's the word already? Already it barked at me and scared me and startled me, and therefore it's too late. So you see already over here another danger, the Gemara is saying, of having these type of dogs in the house that bark, because they can scare ladies and God forbid give them miscarriages. Amar Ravuna. Ravuna comes along and says, "My dichtiv, what does it mean, this pasuk in Kohelet?" The pasuk says, "Smach b'chud b'yaldutecha." Shlomo HaMelech is saying, "Young man, enjoy your youth. Smach b'chud b'yaldutecha. Be happy when you're a youngster. V'tibecha lebecha b'me b'harutecha. And go after your heart's desires when you're a bachur, when you get older a little. V'halech b'darkei libecha. Just go after your heart, wherever your heart takes you." And wherever your eyes take you, follow your eyes. And then the pasuk says, "Veda ki al kol ele yiviyaka Elohim b'mishpat." But you just have to know that on all those things that you did, God is going to hold you accountable. This is a funny pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says, "Go live a carefree life." The end of the pasuk says, "You're going to be held accountable." So the Gemara says, "Ad kan devrei yetzarara." Which is this pasuk over here, it's got two different people speaking. The beginning of the pasuk, who's talking to the person? The yetzer hara. Enjoy life. Go after your heart. Go after your eyes. Do whatever you want. The yetzer hara is telling the person that. But what does the end of the pasuk say? The yetzer hatov chimes in and says, "Hey, He didn't tell you something. He left out a very important fact. On all these things, be careful. You're going to be held accountable. So think twice before you go after the odds. I mean, there's a price you have to pay for that pleasure that you're going to have. L'shtakish amar. Now, the reason why we quote this pasuk is because L'shtakish had an opinion on it. We're quoting all the statements of L'shtakish. Ad ka ledevre Torah. Bikandailak lema'asim tovim. The pasuk over here is split between devre Torah and ma'asim tovim. Which means what? Rashi. Rashi says, Ad kan de Torah, semach betalmudecha, which means when you learn, semach, you have to learn besimcha, lemod mesimcha umetov lev, you have to learn good-heartedly, ve'alach bedarkel debecha lavin ma belebecha lefi reot einecha, which means in Torah everybody has an ability to see it from his vantage point, which means of course not to make up Hadushim that are not emet, but everybody has a different way of understanding a sugya or a different way of reconciling a question, and therefore the pasuk and girl is saying, young man, enjoy your independence in learning, which means say Hadushim, give novel interpretations in the framework of Torah, of course, which means you have the ability to be mechadesh. Look how many sefarim we have on different Gemariot, or on Pirush HaRambam, where each rabbi comes along in a different way and opens up the sugya for us. And each one is beautiful and more beautiful than the next. Shlomo is saying, enjoy that. However, what does the end pasuk say? But know that all these things you're going to be held accountable for, which means, after all your learning and all your knowledge, now they're going to hold you responsible if you don't keep what you learn. Which means now that you know all the mitzvot, and now you know everything that you're obligated to do, because you learned. Be careful. With learning comes responsibility. And that is the performance of the mitzvot. And that's what the end of the pasuk said, that they're going to hold us responsible. Comes the Gemara further. Birit Tehora. We learned in the Mishnah about a certain item that the ladies wore. It was called the birit. We said two laws about the birit. Number one, regarding its susceptibility to tuma'ah, the birit is tehora. Regarding wearing it on Shabbat, the Gemara Mishnah said you cannot wear the birit out. I'm sorry. The Mishnah said you can wear the birit on the out on Shabbat. I read the Mishnah, birit to the viyutzin ba v'Shabbat. You can wear it on Shabbat in the public domain. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, birit zu etzada. What is the birit? Birit is etzada. It is a bracelet. It sounds like you wear it around your arm. So the Gemara says, Mativ Rav Yosef, birit teora. You told me that the birit is teora. V'yotze ba v'shabbat. V'ilu etzada teme'ahi. We know that a bracelet and etzada, the Torah clearly writes that was one of the pieces of jewelry that the Jews took from the spoils of the war that they fought against Midian. And the Torah clearly says, what did they have to do with the spoils of Midian? They had to purify them because they were Teme'im. And one of the things that they took, the Torah says clearly, was Etz'adah. So therefore the Mishnah cannot say that if a birit is an Etz'adah, it's not susceptible to Tum'ah. We know clearly an Etz'adah is susceptible to Tum'ah. So therefore we ask again, what is a birit? So he was Hakikamar. Birit tahat Etz'adah omedet. Which means the birit is another version of the Etz'adah, meaning the Etz'adah is on the arm and the birit is on the leg, which is they're the same item. It's just this is an armband and this is a leg band. What did the Etz'adah do? The Etz'adah was a double thing. First of all, it was a piece of jewelry. It was a takshit. And what was its function? It would, let's say, click against the lady's, let's say, sleeve in order to hold the sleeve in place. The birit was the same thing regarding the socks. In order that the lady's stockings or socks will not fall down, they would put a clip, like a garter, they would call it, around the sock, in order to hold it in place. Only difference is that the birit is really not considered a tachshit, wasn't really a piece of jewelry, nor do you consider it a garment. It serves the garment. And we have a rule. If it's not a garment and it's not a tachshit, it does not nekabel tum'ah. The etz'adah also, let's say, served the garment, but it was a tachshit. It was a jewelry on its own. Therefore, it's mekabel tum'ah. And therefore, the birit, which was attached to the sock, is tehora, and you can go out with it on Shabbat. Why? Because there is no concern that you're going to take it off. First of all, because it's not jewelry, so it's something that you really don't show off. And anyway, you're not taking it off because then the socks are going to fall, and therefore it's not going to be tziniut. So therefore, there is no concern. It's not considered a burden, because bottom line, it is serving the person. It's serving the sock, folding it up. So therefore, it's a needed accessory. So comes the Gemara and says, Yativ Ravin, v'Ravuna, kamed Rav Yirmiyah. Again, Ravin and Rav Huna were sitting in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. V'yativ Rav Yirmiyah v'kam in namnim. And Rav Yirmiyah was dozing during the shiur, or during the conversation. V'yativ Ravin v'kam up. And Ravin sat and said, Birit be'ahat. What is birit? Birit is one of these, we'll call them the garter on one foot, on one leg, I should say. Kevalim b'shtayim. And kevalim that the Mishnah mentioned is just the same thing, but it's on two legs, which means they would have, let's say, a chain.
A pair of pants.
Right, it was a chain, actually. And on both sides of the chain, you had these kevalim, and they would click the socks together. So the birit is just one on one sock, where the kevalim are on both. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, birit be'achat meshokeha. Fine, birit is on. Now what did the Gemara say regarding the kevalim? Kevalim, we said, is tume'ah. It's susceptible to tum'ah, and you can't wear it on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, amal ravuna, elu ve'elu b'shtayim. Which means ravuna comes along and says, no, both of them are on both feet. Umatirim shel shelet b'nehem. And the difference is the chain that's in between them. V'na'asu kebalim. Which means without the chain, you're just sticking these two items on the 2 feet. That's called the
birit.
However, when you place both of them, again, imagine a lady at 2 feet. You attach these two items to her socks, and there's a chain in between holding them together. So that's called already kevalim. So the Gemara says, v'shalshelet shebo meshavyal emana. Which means, and you're telling me over here that the shalshelet, the chain that's in between, that makes it a vessel? Which means, you told me that the kevalim are teme'ah. Teme'im. Well, it's the same thing as a birit. The only difference is what?
Chain.
That chain in between. What, that chain already, that gives it a status of a vessel in order to give it tum'ah? So the Gemara says, yeah, v'chi tema k'rebi shu'a banachmani. Yeah, maybe. Maybe like this opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Nachmani that says, Tamar Rabbi Shimon ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, we learned this Gemara earlier, Minayin l'mashmiya kol b'kli matechot shu'tameh. How do we know a metal vessel that makes noise? In that respect, we're learning about the bell. Yeah. He said, how do we know a metal vessel that makes noise, that it's susceptible to tum'ah? Shre'emar kol davar asher yavo ba'esh. Right, and we learn from the word davar afilu dibur b'mashma. Even so, that makes noise. Now, this chain, when the lady walks, it makes noise, and therefore it's a metal vest that makes noise, and that's why it's susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara says, hold it, bishlamahatam kabaula lekala. There, you're interested in the sound. There, we were talking about a bell. You want the sound the kabid maaseh. And here, I know you're shaking it, you're banging the bell. Hacha, my ma'aseh, ka'abid. Which is over here, what purpose over here do you need the it might make a sound, but but you're not interested. It's not functional. She's making a sound, by the way. But it's not the purpose over here, which is to be tameh. It's got to, let's say, make a sound like we learn, but it's got to be a function. It's got to do something. Here it's just making a sound. What's the purpose of this chain? It's a chain that just makes a noise that you're not even interested in. It's got to have a maase. It's got to have a function to it. So the Gemara says, no, it had a function, this chain. Yeah, it's functional, this chain. What's functional about it? Ve'amar Rabba bar bar Hanan bar Yohanan. There was a certain family in Jerusalem that the girls used to take very big strides, and that would cause their virginity to break because they were taking big strides. So therefore the parents wanted to secure that their bitulim will not break. So what did they do? So they made for them these garters on their legs, and they put this chain in between. What's the chain going to do now? They're not going to be able to take now big steps. It caused them to take smaller strides. So they cannot take the big strides. And therefore the betulim are not going to make. So therefore this item over here has a function. And therefore when it has the chain attached to it, it's purposeful. And therefore it's going to be teme'ah. Question is, why can't you go out with it on Shabbat? What's going to be the problem? It's seemingly, it's the same thing as the birit. So let's see Rashi. You see Rashi? The shalshelet is really serving the person, like the case we saw with the betulin, they serve the person. It's not just serving the birit that it's attached to. In itself, the chain has a function. Why? We're worried that the lady might take off the chain on Shabbat and show it to our friend. The chishaklal shalchel, because taking off the chain, lomikal yashoka, it's not going to reveal her legs, because bottom line, the beads are still attached to the socks. All she's doing is taking off the chain, so that she learns like this. When you're wearing the beads alone, then already it's permissible to go out on Shabbat, because what are you going to take off? There's no chain on it. It's just one garter, so to speak, attached. Even if it's on both feet, you're not taking it off because the socks are going to fall. No problem. This over here, you have the garter on both feet, and you have the chain in the middle. So what's the gizzard? Are you going to take off the garter? No, the socks are going to fall. Not siniyud. But you might take off that golden chain, which is considered a takshid. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen? You're going to show it, and therefore, they did not allow you to wear it when it has the chain. That's the way that...
That's a ma'aseh. Holds up the sock.
No, but the beat itself is a serving the sock. Which is the... Right, it's not serving the person directly. It's serving the sock, which is serving the person. Correct. Here, the chain itself had a function to control the bitulim of the person. Now, Tosafot had a different understanding over here. Tosafot and birit, the word of him birit, second Tosfot on the page. Birit taht etzada omedit, perush bekuntras. Rashi explained, beshuk, they would wear this on their leg, la hazik bateshukea, right, to hold their socks up or stockings up, shelo yipilu viru shukea, bekashe lepiruze. Tosfot has a question on this perush. Dimken bekevalim amai en yotzin. Which means, if that's the case, which if you're learning originally, the only difference between a birit and kevalim is, birit is on one leg, and kevalim is on two legs. At that point, the Gemara didn't introduce anything, just that one is a one-legged item, and one is on two legs. So why should it be, why should one be permissible to go out, and one should be forbidden? They should both be butar. Just like I'm not going to take it off on one leg so my socks don't fall down. So I'm not taking it off on two legs, so my socks don't fall down. Why did the Gemara? Why at that point is the Gemara saying, "Birit permissible to go out on Shabbat,
Kevalim, it's on two legs, asur. Why?
So Tosafot says the mighty side of the guy to the in chalut ben birit the coming elah shezeh be'ahad le'beshtayim lachen el eli te'efshal letlan belo gilui shokim.
Tosafot says now these items, yes, they hold up the socks, but if you take them off, the socks are not really falling down. So it's not an issue over here of tziniut.
Oh, so what's the issue? Shumachi kevalim en yotzim behem. You know why? Dilma shafar mechavya de tachshit lenoihem.
These kevalim, according to Tosafot, they were actually a jewelry. Actually, it was something nice. The birit also was something nice. However, when you have a pair of them, you're not embarrassed to show it. You'll take it over and say, hey, look at my pair of the kevalim. But when you only have one, you're not going to show it. Of course, it's embarrassing because the people are going to ask you, well, you only have one?
Yeah.
Not normal to wear one. Where's the matching matching pair? So therefore, when it's a birit, Tosfot says, even though it's a nice item, but what? You're not taking it off. Why are you not taking it off? Bushot. Because it's embarrassing. So it Tosfot Neshiyon, and as she says, you're not taking it off. Why? Because your socks are going to fall down. Tosfot says, the socks are not going to fall down. The issue is here, what? The issue is you're not taking it off because you're embarrassed to really show it because you don't have two. Whereas the kevalim, it's a set, you'll take it off and show it. Your socks are going to fall down. Tosfot says, no, the socks don't fall down necessarily by taking off this item. Comes the Gemara and continues. Comes the Gemara and continues. Incidentally, let's just finish that Tosafot. If you're saying it's a tachshit, so then why is the birit tehora? Normally we said if it's a tachshit, it should be teme'ah. So Tosafot says, it's really not a tachshit for decorative purposes. It's Tosafot agreed, it's still a kli that's serving a kli. It's the vessel that's serving the sock, that's serving the birds, which is, that doesn't change. It seems kevalim are more of, no, kevalim, the Gemara says, because of the chain that was in there. At that shot, you have to say that when you have a set of them, it's more tachshit. It's more an adornment, because you have both of them. So it must be tebe'ah. Exactly, even without the chain. Correct. Now, while this conversation was taking place amongst the rabbis, we said, one of the rabbis was dozing off. The Bir Miyah was Minam Nim. Right? And they were discussing. The Birit is on one leg. The Kivalim is on two legs. And you got the chain. And the chain is for the girls of Jerusalem. That whole story. It'ar behu Bir Miyah. The interim the Bir Miyah woke up. Amar lehu Yishar. He said, good. Azag Baruch, Yishar. Very, very good. Vechen Amar Rabbi Yohanan. He says, Rabbi Yohanan and Eretz Yisrael said the same thing regarding the, the Birit and the Kevalim. So he was dozing, but actually he was actually tuning in to the conversation. Gemara says, Ki ata Ravdimi Amar Rabbi Yohanan. When Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he brought with him some statements of Rabbi Yohanan with him. And what did he say? He says, Menayin le'ari kol shu shu tameh. How do we know that a woven garment that's even the size of a kolshu, which is the smallest shi'ur, is susceptible to tumah? Now this is a hidush, because we learned in the earlier sugya, in the second perek, right, it's got to be 3x3 etzba'ot at least. So the Gemara is minimum shi'ur. So the Gemara is explaining like this. You're right, that's when you have 3x3 etzba'ot, where that's the normal minimum size of a beged, which is stam the minimum size. But let's say you want to use even less than that. You have a purpose for even less than that. And your intention when you cut the beged out, you needed even a smaller size. Then already it'll be susceptible to tumah. The standard minimum size is 3x3 etzba'ot. Unless the guy who's making the garment shows interest that he needs even such a smaller size. How do you know even a kolshu is mekabel tumah? So the Gemara says, misitz. So he tells him from the seats. What was the seats? The seats is the headband that the Kohen Gadol used to wear. Oh, strange. We're trying to find out how we know a woven garment the size of the kosher was mekabel tumah, and you quote to me from the metal headband of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says that. Amar le'Abaye, the seats arigu? But was the seats woven? The Atanya, we learn, seats kimin tas shel zahav. It was like a metal plate, gold. Very narrow, just two fingers wide. Umukaf me'ozim me'ozim. And it went from ear to ear of the Kohen Gadol. Ve'katuv alav bebet shittin. And the seats had two lines inscribed on it. Yod he lema'la ve'kodesh lamed lemata. Now let's stop for a second, because this is a very important mahloket to know how the seats of the Kohen Gadol looked. Clearly it's telling us it was gold. It was telling us it went from ear to ear. It's telling us that was a very narrow piece of gold. And we're telling us also that it had two lines and there were words written on both lines. On one line it said Yudke, meaning Yudke Vavke, the name of God. And the other line it said Kodesh Lamed. Now we have different shitot that explain this. So that she understands, very simply, you had Yudke Vavke in the center, the first line, center, second line, it said, Kodesh Lamed. What does Kodesh Lamed mean? As if you read it, Kodesh Lashem. And that's the way it was configured. However, the Ben Utam learns differently. He doesn't like that because you don't really read it like that. You know, you have to put Hashem on top because you're not going to put the name of God on the second line, but really it's not so, you know, easy to read. So he says like this, he says you put on the first line Yudke Vavke at the end of the line, and on the second line in the beginning of the line you write Kodesh Lamed. So if you read it like, you know, from left to right, Kodesh Lashem, which is you're able to read it, you go from the second line to the top line. That would be the shita of the Ben Utam. Rishon, that's the Ben Utam. You have the Yudke Vavke at the end, and you have Kodesh Laman on the second line. It's okay?
How do we want you to read it, Rabbi?
Tosfot, that's Tosfot.
We want you to say Hashem.
But Tosfot, this is Tosfot. No, Tosfot, the Buddha Matchil, the Ketuv Alam Mishne Shittin. The end of the Ben Utam.
Is that the Tosfot?
In any event,
they want you to read it. You say Hashem's name, then say Kodesh Hashem.
Yeah, they want you to read the Kodesh Hashem
without saying Hashem's name first.
No, you're not reading anything. You're just saying what it's written on the seat. But when you look at it, you want to see Kodesh Hashem. That's the goal. But what do you mean first?
Because you have the Hashem's name, Yud
Kevav. No, they don't want you to say Hashem's name. They want you to read it Kodesh Hashem. But we all agree, at least most opinions agree, that you have to put Hashem's name on the first on the first line. Even though I think Harambam had a different opinion. Hanabah's opinion was that actually you put Kodesh Lamed on the top line and Hashem on the second line. You have to see exactly how we understood this Gemara. In any event, those are the three basic she taught. Now the Gemara says further. Gemara says further, Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yosef, Ani de'iti b'ir Romi. He says, I was in Rome, I saw the seats with my own eyes. Seems he got into the, to the treasures over there that the Romans had. V'chatuf kodesh la'Hashem b'shita achat. And I saw it's written really on one line. Kodesh la'Hashem, there is no two lines. So that's a whole discussion, exactly who you follow. I mean, the Gemara in the Halakha, I mean, really says there was two lines. It doesn't take the Rabbi Eliezer too seriously what he saw. What do you mean? He saw with his own eyes. So the different explanations they say. It could be he saw a seat that was made b'di'avad. We have a tradition that the seat's got to be two-lined. If it was done with one line, it's kasher. But who says that that's the preferable seats? You know, who knows? Maybe that was a seat that wasn't worn. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was a seat that was in the archives. The Beit HaMikdash, they made it that way. So, well, the tradition, sometimes the tradition that the Hakamim have even overrides live eyewitness testimony that the rabbi saw. In any event, Gemara says like this. So again, we're back to the question. He said, how do you know that an Ari Kolshu is Mekabel Tuma? So he said, deceits. They said, what do you mean deceits? Now, the only question on this piece for a second is, Nabdimi Serenay Rabbi Yohanan. How do you know from the seats? Why, Rabbi Yohanan didn't know the seats was metal? I mean, he needed Abaye to come along and say, hey, what, the seats is a metal piece. Oh, thank you, I thought the seats was made out of fabric. When the Torah tells you it was made out of metal. What was he even thinking with the statement? So I saw one of the Mefarshim
over here bring down that
what Avdimi, right? Avdimi made the statement, but he didn't know the seats.
So there's a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Chet that says Kipa shel tzemer hayta munachat berosh kohen gadol.
The kohen would wear a kipa shel tzemer, a woolen hat, ve'aleha sitz natun, and the sitz was placed over the kipa shel tzemer, because the pasuk says v'samta oto al petil techelet. You place it on the petil techelet, which is on the garment of the kohen. So therefore, Rav Dimi could have thought that the sitz and this kipa are really considered all part of the sitz. And therefore he said, yeah, you learn it from the seats, meaning not the seats proper, but you learn it from the hat that was underneath, that was also an arig. It didn't have, let's say, the shirud. And therefore he wanted to say that since it's considered one of the clothes of the Kohen, so therefore it has the deen of Tumah. So he was coming from somewhere. But they told him, no. That's not considered one of the clothes of the Kohen Gadol. The seats itself has nothing to do with the garment that's underneath. So why did you say seats? You should have said then from the kippah of Seven. So the Gemara comes along and says like this. Gemara says like this. Salik Rav Dimi in Nehardea. Eventually Rav Dimi went up to the city of Nehardea, which was in Bavel. Shalachnehu, he said back to the rabbis, Devarim she'amati lachem, the statement that I made to you in Rabbi Yohanan's name about the Arig and the seats, ta'utem liyadi. It's a mistake, I misquoted. It's a mistake, I take it back. But in truth, this is what they said in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. How do you know an adornment, a piece of jewelry that's even the size of a kol shehu, a metal piece of jewelry, how do you know it has no minimum shiur to become susceptible to tumah? The seats. Then you can know from the seats. The seat was a very, very narrow piece of jewelry. It was only 2 inches wide. So he wasn't talking about arig. How do you know a minimum size of a tachshit is mekabel tuma from the seats? Uminayim la'arik kol shushu tameh. Oh, next question. How do you know the minimum size of a woven garment is mekabel tuma? Me'o beged. That we know from a pasuk. When the pasuk talks about items that are susceptible to tuma, it doesn't say beged, it says o beged. So from the word o, we come to include all begadim, even if they are kolshu, meaning if they serve a function at the kolshu level. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a blaita. Ari kolshu tameh. Ari kolshu tameh. Something that woven, even if it's a kolshu, as susceptible to tumah. The tachshit kolshu tameh. For that matter, a tachshit also is tameh. Ari the tachshit kolshu tameh. You have a hybrid. It's half woven, half metal, the size of a gold shoe. The Gemara says, is also tameh. So we have three things. Tachshit gold shoe, ari gold shoe, tachshit ari gold shoe also. Mosaf sak ala beged. Now, the Gemara is going to explain this later. We'll just read it, what it says. A sak has an advantage over a beged, shetameh mishum arig. Because sack also can become, sack wolf can become tameh mishum arig. The Gemara will explain that later. Amarava arig kol shu tameh. How do you know that an arig kol shu is tameh? Me'obeged. Very good. From the pasuk, obeged, the extra word. Tachshit kol shu tameh. How do you know what tachshit kol shu? Mesitz. Arig me tachshit kol shu tameh. How do you know the hybrid that's tameh? Amara says, mikol kli ma'aseh. Which means, it says in the pasuk, I'll quote you the pasuk. After the Jewish people recovered all the spoils of the war of Midian, it says, "Vayikach Moshe ve'Elazar haKohen et haZahav me'itam kol kli ma'aseh." What is kol coming to include? All things, even the hybrids, even the items that were made out of metal and fabric. And what does the Torah say about those items? They were tameh. They had to purify them. So you see the word kol. Sold it. That was written in the war of Midian. The war of Midian was referring to one type of tumah, tumat mit. How do you know all the other types of tumah? For example, tumat shiritz. You can't learn just because you saw by tumat mit. Tumat mit is very stringent. So I can say, yeah, maybe it's susceptible to tumat mit, like the war of Midian. How do you know it's susceptible also to a lower tum'at called tum'at sheretz? So the Gemara says, Amale, Kimar Kli, Kli Me'atam. I'll make a Gezirah Shema. It says the word Kli by Midyan. And it says the word Kli by Tumat Sheretz. And therefore, just like by Tumat Mit, we're saying what? Even on the hybrid. So therefore, I'll say even by Tumat Sheretz as well. Let's read the top Rashi. We conclude, Kli, Kli. Bishratzim Ketiv. Called Kli Asher Yaseh Melacha. Umigufe declared the Shiratzim no Malimetsiya leave the Asher Yaseh Melacha. Not Kli Tachshit Mashma. Which means we cannot learn from Shiratzim itself the law of the hybrid. We had to learn the hybrid from the Dirashav called Kli Maaseh. All vessels to come include even the one that's made out of half Kli, half metal, half fabric. And from the fact that it says Kli over there, it says called Kli Maaseh. So to over here by Sheretz as well. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.